The Miami Dolphins made their first two picks. We're going to go over those picks, see how we feel, and talk about what's the best available for today. What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another collective, a special edition, because we had the draft yesterday. And we got the first round in the books. But real quick, we do want to shout out the sponsor of Prize Picks. Later on, I'm going to tell you guys how I got 3 out of my 5 right. And I'm going to tell you what I have going on for today. All draft stuff. Really, really fun. But let's jump into this and let's go into what happened yesterday. So the Miami Dolphins sitting at 11. Trade down a spot, pick up 2 5s with the Dallas Cowboys, and they had players available, some good players available. Downs, Bane, Vega. They trade down, and they pick up, like I said, 2 5s, and they take Caden Proctor. Now, at first, I was like, what? Who? Why? Because, again, Caleb Downs was there, which a lot of people wanted Caleb Downs. And again, Vega, Reuben Bain Jr. There's a lot of good players there. Not saying that Proctor is a bad player, and we'll get into all that stuff. And he was, a lot of people mocked him in that area, 17, 12, 14, yeah. 15. You know, some people think it was a reach. I don't think it was a reach. I just was surprised out of the players that were available, they went Proctor. I'm not upset. You know, I got to marinate on it. I got to sleep on it. And, you know, I like the pick. Yes, there is the weight issue and that stuff. But he's a big man. He's a mauler. And I like the pick. Omar, what's your thoughts on it?
This falls into the planet Earth theory, which I don't know where I got that from. Poupard might remember. Who had the planet Earth theory? One of these executives that we've run into over this many 2 decades, whereas there are only so many humans on the earth who are as big as Proctor and as athletic as Proctor. There are only a finite amount of those walking the earth, and they felt like they needed to add them. They need to prioritize that. And it was very clear that they had him rated higher than Caleb Downs, higher than Reuben Bain on their board.
Think?
Yeah. Would I agree? No. But do I understand? Yes. The one thing that I always pay attention to is, do you do what you say you're going to do? Does your words align with your actions? And they said, we're going to trade down. They traded down. They traded up too, but they traded down. And they also said that we're going to get bigger, and we're going to create a bigger, more physical team to become bullies of the NFL. And certainly that's the one of the players that you would add to become more physical, more bullies. I really can't see him playing guard. I remember I had these conversations about Patrick Paul, who I felt should play guard. And then everybody was like, there's no possible way that he could play guard. And now they're talking about Proctor can play guard when Proctor's probably even bigger than Patrick Paul. Like, how does that make any sense? So if they were going to play him at guard, why not go with Ione, you know, the Penn State offensive lineman? So, you know, more... You know, would I have preferred or favored, or would it have been the safe and easy thing and the popular thing to go with Reuben Bain? Absolutely.
Oh God, you're Reuben Bain. My God, Reuben Bain. Guy has.
I'm just being real with you. I think this Kendall Proctor's career will be a tight end associated with Reuben Bain.
And Caleb Downs as much, if not more so. Because, again, Caleb Downs went ahead of Proctor, not 3 spots after. I know you have these Google eyes for Reuben Bain. I understand that, but he went 15.
You act like 15 is much different than 12.
Caleb Downs went 11. It's it's two more teams. It's two more teams that also decided that they needed something other than Reuben Bain. I mean, but yes.
Well, yeah, Baltimore's one, and they probably took the best and safest player in the draft because Baltimore knows what the hell they're doing.
Okay. And let me start off by saying, Doug, I will take issue with something you said at the top because you called it a special edition. They're all special editions. And then number two, you mentioned John Eric Sullivan living up to his word of trading down. He had said he'd be more likely to trade down than up. They did both. And then building from the inside out, which they did. But he did not. He went against his comment or philosophy, which he said specifically with players of character concerns, but to me should apply everywhere, particularly where the Dolphins were as an organization, of swinging for the home run as opposed to swinging for the double off the wall. Caden Proctor is a guy with a very, very high ceiling. If the weight issues do not materialize in the NFL at all, and he's got a really, really, really high ceiling. But the bust quotient is clearly higher than some other guys he could have taken at 12, even after the trade down. Certainly Venga or Caleb Downs staying put at 11. So, and truth is, I know everybody on social media is a draft expert and can tell you exactly how the careers are going to pan out without fail because they're 100% right. None of us know exactly how good Caden Proctor is going to be an NFL player. My only take on all of this is there was some risk involved at this pick, and I did not feel, so I'm going to be consistent, did not feel heading into this draft, the Dolphins were in a position to take prospects with some risk factor. And if Caden Proctor becomes a Hall of Famer, obviously they will have been right and they will have been completely wrong and won't be the first time.
Katie, what's your thoughts on the Proctor pick?
Katie. It was a – can y'all hear me? Just want to make sure we're good. All right. Good. It was a – in my opinion, it was an excellent pick. It wasn't the sexy pick, but it was the right pick. I know there were some concerns, but at the end of the day, this is the biggest guy in the draft that moves well, holds his weight. He's very athletic. He was used multiple ways at Alabama. I know some gimmick stuff, but that type of athleticism and that type of ability to move and hold, you know, the weight that he is, that's amazing at guard for right now as he transitions in the NFL and potentially becomes a tackle next year. I think he definitely plays guard this year, but I like it because Dolphin fans have been crying for 5,000 years about fixing the O-line, and guess what? It's addressed. It's addressed. I know there's still one issue on the left. I know the left side may be of a little concern at guard, but let's look at the NFL. Most teams only got three good offensive linemen. We got four.
It's not a draft.
If he had done in the NFL first before we anoint him?
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no.
I
mean,
I don't even know if he's going to make it to training camp.
We're not going to do that. Listen, there's certain players in this draft that's going to hold their own in the NFL, and Proctor's one of them.
No, I don't agree with you.
Man.
I'm not at this point, he's got a long way to go before he can prove he can play 50 snaps in South Florida's heat and humidity.
Guard. That, he's playing guard.
It don't matter.
He can hack it in the heat.
Like, it don't matter. And the one thing that when you watch him film-wise, it's the late games. Like, he's just there. He's out of gas. He's just taking up space. And that's great for an offensive lineman, but you need more than that in the NFL. Big bodies are very hard to find, especially big bodies who are athletic. I never, ever, ever, ever feel comfortable with a player who has weight issues who likes to eat. Because when you like to eat, you like to eat.
Mm.
And there's nothing you could turn off. There's no switch you could turn off that's going to make you, like, say, oh, I don't want to eat today. Like, no.
He's already down a little bit.
Because he's in the best shape of his life. How often is he going to be in the best shape of his life?
For the rest of his life. How about that?
And you know that for a fact. Cool. So TD knows that for a fact. And yet the other teams ahead of the Dolphins in the draft clearly did not know that for sure otherwise, because based on his size and athleticism, he wouldn't have been there at 12 if there were no risks or concerns.
So let me ask you guys this question. Now, obviously, there's that issue, right, with the coming in, because even Nick Saban said, right, you know, when he's there and he's in the building and he's in shape, he is a really good player and he's dedicated and all that stuff.
Did we lose Doug?
We have the talent now, I guess you could say. Is that now something on Halfley and I guess the rest of the offensive line guys to kind of help push him in the right direction? Like, do you see that? Or is it more you need to get your stuff together if you want to be an NFL player?
You're a grown-ass man. You're the one who's going to cash your signing bonus. You're not paying it to your fellow offensive linemen or to your coaches, right? Take care of your business. And there are like one of the comps for him, and you tell me that's not frightening, is Mekhi Becton. I went back before the draft. I looked at him, and I get DJ Fluker vibes, and that's my fear that's who he becomes. Obviously, there's the other scenario, and yeah. I know the two guys wearing Dolphin logos on their hat are going to be like this. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. So.
I also
never said that.
I also don't like the fact that Alabama offensive linemen have a very sketchy history in the draft. Mm-hmm. And that's never comforting. But mind you, he was a paid hired gun. I'm sure he was making $1 million at Alabama. You know, so it's not like you're going to give this guy new money and all of a sudden he's going to blow up. So, but, you know, it is what it is. This is a different age.
Omar, yeah. what I'm hearing from you and Alan and Doug ain't saying nothing. Doug just like, okay, well, that's y'all opinion. Listen, what I'm hearing from you two gentlemen is a lot of scars from the last regime.
Yeah.
A lot of y'all keep putting these scars on.
No, but Greer did not. Greer drafted one fat man, and that was Solomon Kinley, and he ate his way out of the league.
Oh my God. See,
I referenced Mekhi Becton, who was drafted by the Jets, and I referenced DJ Fluker, who was drafted by the Chargers. Has nothing to do with Dolphins PTSD. That would be a white Jordan Tyson would have given me flashback to the old regime and Devontae Parker.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but why do I get zero optimism?
You're not getting zero optimism. I didn't say he's going to be a bust.
Alan said high ceiling. He said high ceiling.
Alan wanted a safer pick, and I can understand that mindset, especially when Sullivan basically said, "I'm going safe here."
Yeah.
That was not a safe pick. That was really. I mean, I'm not necessarily certain there could have been a bigger boom or bust kind of selection at 12. I don't have a problem with it, especially when you consider 9 offensive linemen went in the first round. We knew going into the draft, the offensive tackles were going to be done round one. Mm. Like, they're gone. Like, and the question is, how good are you at evaluating and doing your job? Would Monroe Feeling, the Georgia offensive lineman, be, or Blake Miller be a better option if you wanted to address that position? But they believe in the planet Earth theory, which is get the biggest, most athletic human being you could possibly get. Now let's just hope that he can play 50 snaps in South Florida's heat and humidity. Mm. Because that's a whole different animal.
Have we considered, I'm going to throw this out there. Have we considered the fact that, He might have actually been Miami's first pick that Fano was.
No.
Sure.
I mean,
or even Delane.
Possible without question. And TD, don't get me wrong. And I don't like that you're saying that. I'm hoping he's going to completely kick some ass. But to say that it's a slam dunk, I mean, home run, they absolutely nailed the crap out of it. I'm not going to go there. By the way, let me read, Omar, to your point, and not that it has anything to do with our friend Caden Proctor. Listen to these names. J.C. Latham, Evan Neal, Alex Leatherwood, Jedrick Wills, Jonah Williams, Cam Robinson, Cyrus Kwangio, DJ Fluker, James Carpenter, Andre Smith. Alabama tackles in the first round, and yikes.
Yeah.
I mean, yikes. But it has nothing to do with Caden Proctor, though.
That's scarring, man. That's
crazy.
It's kind of like the list of Alabama quarterbacks, too.
But the reason why I'm numb to all of this,
Jalen Hurts is the champion.
True. The reason why
The
reason why I'm numb to this, that I'm good with Proctor, because you don't go Proctor there. Oh, when are we going to address the O-line? It's just the – man, let's go get a guy that we believe in. Let's put him on his line and build the trenches and do it the right way. The thing that everybody cried about the last regime, not ever doing the right way.
They did. They did it. Pupar would always point out that they put resources behind it. They just sucked.
They put resources, but they never – okay, when do we ever go four deep other than the four line?
They put resources behind the offensive line.
Shall I go ahead and do it?
Please do it. Yeah.
Austin Jackson, round one. Robert Hunt, round two. Liam Eichenberg, round two. After trading up to Ron Armstead as a free agent. Connor Williams as a free agent. Isaiah Wynn the following year as a free agent. Patrick Paul in the second round. Jonas Abayinaya in the second round. It's not like they haven't tried. They just haven't.
Probably Kinley in the fourth round. Yeah. They just weren't very good at evaluating offensive linemen.
Have we ever saw a concluded line of four plus good offensive linemen other than the unicorn line?
Last year's
line. You have four good plus offensive linemen when you have a right tackle who's, I would say, solid but very oft injured, and you have a rookie hasn't played a down yet.
That's good, though. I mean, the right tackle, Austin Jackson, that's fine. You know, that's the barometer of what you can ask for is a right tackle. Like, that's fine.
Disappear TD with that.
let's get to. Well, I'll ask one more question about this, and then we'll get.
We got 1.2 people watching, 1,200 people watching. So we thank you for joining us. Obviously, TD is in Pittsburgh, so he's got all kinds of issues. So you were the only person who saw Proctor in person. Tell me, TD, what he looked like?
Big.
Well, I saw his live stream when he talked about it and meeting Proctor. He said he said you know, big. Well, he's coming back.
Okay.
Omar asked TD, what was your thoughts when you saw Proctor, because you saw him in person?
He's massive, because I'm a big guy. Okay, I'm 6'1.5", so I'll just give myself 6'2". And man, this guy, it's rare I feel small. But I'm very, very, how can I say, charismatic. We saw each other from like 70 feet away. He saw my dolphin hat. I saw his. We both literally just, and I don't want to sound weird, but we both literally locked eyes, smiled, and I found a new love. Man. I found a new love.
No, that's what TD did. Hey, TD, when he needs an IV in his first practice, you the first person I'm gonna text.
Gosh, I can't believe y'all right now. I can't believe y'all doing this.
I can promise you he gonna need an IV.
He's gonna have to get used to it.
Yeah,
but he did practice in Alabama, so you know it's not.
But
cold
y'all don't understand. It's just different. Like, he moves well for his size, and I think that's what they fell in love with, just his ability to move. Like, all I can think of is hiking the football, Patrick Paul leading the way on the left, him pulling, coming that way, and it's just a chance season.
I hope he doesn't play guard, because I don't see him pulling.
Oh, come on. Where do you think he's going to play?
He's going to play.
Could they kick Austin Jackson in that guard? They
kick Austin Jackson inside. Yeah.
But isn't that unfair to unload the rookie just straight up at tackle? This will be a beautiful transition.
No. It's not unfair. The one thing that I learned from the Patrick Paul, because I used to be hammering them about Patrick Paul playing him at guard last year, and all they kept telling me was, he's too big to play guard. He's too big to play guard. He can't play guard. Tua can't see over him. He can't play guard. And this guy's bigger. How's he gonna play guard?
He's not like, tall. He's not taller. He's wider, but he's not taller.
It's
like an inch.
Imagine the offensive taller line where you have Patrick Paul and Proctor on the left side.
Sure.
That's just a wall on that left side of just mass of men.
I mean, if you want to do that, go for it. I'm okay with it. It needs to pan out, and I get it. Your tailback, your tiny tailback, is the best player that you have on your roster, and your tiny quarterback is the probably the second the best athlete on your roster. So
funny you never heard that terminology in years past, tiny quarterback. It's interesting how that changed.
Tiny athlete. I mean, he is the same size as Tua. Let's just put it out there.
Why are we talking about this man? Come on.
Listen. Now. Same size, little thick in the body, a little thick upper body, you know, but Tua had that thick lower body, you know, that big booty. Listen, it's
so we got TD with Proctor, right? The little hey, and then you with Tua back in the day. Alan, who was your guy? Let's get it out of the way. Who was your Dolphin guy that you were like?
I'm a grumpy old man. I didn't have any. I haven't had any one of those.
No man crushes for you.
You like Dixon.
I love Dixon.
Let's get to pick 27. So the Miami Dolphins then sitting at 30. There was people on the board. Uh-huh. Most people were falling.
A lot of cornerbacks on the board.
Yeah, and some guys that I liked for the Dolphins at 30 started to go earlier. Like Thineman, like there was another guy I liked that went earlier, but there were some guys, and then the Dolphins traded up.
Let me guess, like Casey Concepcion, right?
They gave up 30 and 90, and they got 27 and 138. Mm-hmm. And they took a guy who I like, and I've talked about him a lot. I didn't think he would go in the end of the first. I was thinking more of a second round pick, but Chris Johnson, love the way Chris Johnson plays, his speed, he's smart. He could play multiple, man, press, zone. I love Chris Johnson. I don't know if he would have been there at 43 now that I really think about it. So, when I look at the Proctor pick, I was more like, oh, we missed out on X, Y, and Z. Whereas when I look at the Chris Johnson pick, I thought we could have got him at 30, but I'm not upset at taking him at 27, and I'm definitely happy we did because, to me, he's a day one starter, and I think he's going to be impactful for this defense. I'll go with TD. What's your thoughts on the Chris Johnson pick?
Yeah, I'm a little bit similar. I think Chris Johnson showed me that I became a victim of mock drafts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is sometimes I allow mock drafts to also teach me who players are. But we really focus in on a whole bunch of players that the Dolphins have a chance to get. And I had him mocked at 43 because he always showed up in mocks. But when we selected him and actually moved up to get him at 27, I said, something I'm missing. I know his skill set, X, Y, and Z, but let me go back and look at some of the pre-draft evaluations. And some people had this man as the second best corner in the draft, literally taken around this pick all the way to about 35. And I said, man, why did I, I kept having them at 43, but that's what the mocks were doing. And sometimes we let mocks turn into the gospel, I guess. But what I was concerned about, though, I felt like he would have been there at 30, but I think Sully said there were a few teams that they had gotten word that they were trying to, get him, and we had to do what we had to do, which tells you when they know they love a player, they are going to get that player. So that's the guy we wanted to target. We can't let it pass by. Let's do what we need to do to move up and get the guy we want, even if it costs a little more. And mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. And it is a pick from tonight, I think pick number 90. Picking up those two fifths early on in that first trade, makes me feel a little better about it. I just didn't know about the trade up, but we got a good player. We got a guy who's probably the best one in the room day one, based off of everybody else that's in the room.
Come on.
And so he's going, and I hope he comes in feeling like he's the big dog, acting like he's the big dog, because that's exactly what we're going to need. Because he is the big dog. He is a great talent. He's going to man down his side of the football. Now, again, you hope that this isn't no egg monogamy vibes, but I think they got this pick right. He's a great athlete, and I trust Jeff Hafley because it's his specialty. I'm not going to doubt him until he show me something worth doubting.
Are you really going to question that Chris Johnson right now is the best cornerback on this roster? Are we seriously going to question that?
I think Juju Brents is a very good cornerback.
He's always hurt.
Yeah, I know. I know. Didn't let me finish if he can stay healthy, which obviously he can't.
Well, we got two good guys now then.
Here's my thing about Chris Johnson. And a lot of people I respect like him. It doesn't completely surprise me that he was taken in the first round. I will say this. I love when teams have convictions about players and they go get them. Do whatever they take. Like,
you mean like when the Dolphins did with Liam Eikenberg and with Jonas Avayanaya? Good point. Sorry.
Cold-blooded.
We have a conviction, though.
Hey, cold-blooded, man. No, those are – Liam Eikenberg was a run taking place on offensive linemen, and they didn't want to be left empty-handed. Jonas Savanaya was the last decent offensive lineman left.
No, wrong. Tate Ratledge was still there. Sorry.
Okay. In their mind, in terms of the guys that – yeah, and let's be real about it. Chris Greer was not very good at evaluating offensive linemen. The track record, the history just – proves that.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Yeah. So you're, but the conviction. I like that when you have a conviction, like even the Proctor conviction, they were going to take him over Reuben Bain. Like they were going to take him over Caleb Downs, which is why they traded down. They knew exactly who Dallas was coming up for, and they were like, "We're good with that. Give us two fifths, because this is the guy we were going to take anyway." So. I like when you have convictions. If they continue to have this kind of conviction about their draft picks the rest of the draft, I'll be good with it. Now, the question is, can they really evaluate football? I don't know.
Time tells.
Yeah. I have no idea. My biggest concern about these individuals is they don't know what it takes to be successful in South Florida. So they don't exactly know what they're adding to their teams. So that's my biggest concern. But let me figure out if we need time to figure out if they can actually evaluate football.
Of course. And I will point out, since I couldn't resist being a smartass before, I know, shocker, me being a smartass. They did trade up for Xavien Howard in 2016. So I, and obviously they nailed that one. And For all those Dolphin fans out there, again, the general manager experts on social media, oh, they should have stayed at 30. He'd have been there. If you don't think if the Dolphins thought he'd be there at 30, that they would have kept that third round pick? I mean, like, seriously.
That's who they wanted. They didn't want any of the other secondary cornerbacks. They didn't want Terrell. They didn't want Hood. They didn't want Sice. That's who they wanted. So, you know.
Personally, to me, that would have been the spot. Kendrick Faulk was still out there. I'd have preferred that as a pick. I have zero issue with Chris Johnson. I do think he's going to be a good, solid player. No issue there. I also think the odds of getting a good, solid cornerback at 43, if you don't go Chris Johnson there, were better than getting a good, solid edge defender, not taking Faulk there. But if they – obviously, if they're bored that they have Chris Johnson as a better player prospect than – and Kendrick Faulk, by all means. And we'll find out in 2 or 3 years where there is a
problem. Real quick, though.
I watched Kendrick Faulk against Proctor. It was not good.
Yeah, what did you see? Five snaps?
Because Proctor a dog. That's why.
Neither of them really impressed me, but Kendrick, but nah, neither. It was not impressive. I think Kendrick. I'm really worried about what they can do at defense at edge. I really am.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about who's still available real quick. I do want to shout out the sponsor and shout out the fact that we have 1,643 of you great human beings in the live stream. Hit that like button. Subscribe if you are new. We are less than 100 away from 13,000. 1,600 of you in here at 10 o'clock in the morning. We love you. It doesn't, you know what that shows? It doesn't matter what time we go live. You guys are going to show up, and we appreciate the hell out of all of you. But yes, shout out to the sponsor, Prize Picks. Now, yesterday, I got to pat myself on the back. I put 5 picks out there for yesterday. Uh-huh. One was Reuben Bain, not in the top 5. Got that right.
Not in the top 5. That's easy.
I got Bailey going number 2. Everyone thought it was Arvell Reese. I took Bailey going 2. I got that right. I got, what was the other ones I got? Somebody else not. Carnell Tate. I got Carnell Tate not going in the top 5. I was wrong on that. I'm surprised he went to Tennessee, Carnell Tate. Surprised by that
That's
one.
That's what flipped the whole draft upside down.
Yeah. I got Arvel Reese going top five. So there was my three I got right. And then I thought Jeremiah Love was going to the Giants. I did not think the Arizona Cardinals were going to take Jeremiah Love. So that's what I had yesterday. Now today, again, you can go on Prize Picks and you could do draft stuff as well as team picks, as well as, you know, TD has talked about before, you could do player picks. For today, I have the third quarterback taken. So far we have obviously Mendoza. Ty Simpson going to the Rams. Crazy. Craziness there.
You props to you on that one.
I got the third quarterback.
Tom McVay's reaction when there was in the
press. Oh, he didn't want him. He didn't want him.
Yeah, and that's what a real GM do. You going to take him, and he's going to be the future.
We'll see. We'll see. That's a great spot for him to land, though, to learn behind Stafford. Great spot. But for me, I got the third quarterback taken being Drew Aller. I think Drew Aller would be the third quarterback taken. I have the first pick for the San Francisco 49ers not being an offensive lineman. I wanted to pick wide receiver, but it wouldn't let me for some reason. So I was like, screw it, let me do not. I have the first pick for the Green Bay Packers being a corner slash safety. And I got the first pick for Buffalo being defensive line slash edge. So again, you can go to Prize Picks. You could do those types of picks as well as you could do the player picks. You play $5, you get 50 instantly when you use that promo code HMA. So looking at today, the Miami Dolphins have four picks today. They would have had five, but they did a wheeling and dealing. Let's go over what they have. So now they have 1 second at 43. They have 3 thirds, 75, 87, and 94. They did have 90, but they traded it. They have 2 fourths at 130, 138. They have 3 fifths now, 151, 177, and 180. And they have 2 sevenths, 227, and 238. Looking at the best players available, there's still a lot of good talent on the board. Now, Jermaine McCoy is still there. This is like a Will Johnson situation. How far will he slide? Would you take Will Johnson at 43? Jermaine McCoy at 43, or you? Because I like Warren. For me, the guys that I'm looking at, Emmanuel McNeil Warren, Cassius Howell, and Denzel Boston. Those are guys I'm looking at 43, kind of three areas of need that the Dolphins still have. But again, even if we didn't take Proctor, Emmanuel Pragnon still there. There's, you know, TJ Parker still out there. There's still a lot of talent, and we're picking 10th now instead of 11th. Who do you guys see? Like, do you guys have your best available still? We'll start with Alan there.
Doug, they're picking 11th. You said they're picking 10th instead of 11?
Yeah, they're picking at 43.
Correct, which is the 11th pick in the round.
Isn't it the 10th since the first pick is 33?
No. Count them out. Count them out if you want while I go ahead with my spiel. It's the 11th pick.
You got to count 33 as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
They pick 11 every single round because they were the only three in NFL that finished 7 and 10. That's why the wrong pick is 11. I would not pick McCoy. Again, it's... he could become really, really, really good, or then he could give out. And the fact that he didn't go in the first round kind of tells you something.
Mm-hmm. Whenever they've been more degenerate, it's a never good.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with Denzel Boston, physical wide receiver. They need that. Zion Young, I'd be fine as an edge, assuming the Dolphins have had a long chat with him and he's been investigated, because that DWI in December is a major red flag to me, because regardless of the severity of the incident or not, your prospect heading into the final months before the draft and you get yourself in a situation like that shows rather poor judgment. Definitely TJ Parker, somebody I would have no issue with. Anthony Hill. Caden McDonald, even though they drafted 3 defensive tackles last year, he's a guy who can move along the middle of that defensive line.
He's still on the board.
So what'd you say, PD?
I forgot he's still on the board, McDonald.
Yeah. Wow. Those will be Colton Hood. Although if the Dolphins want to double up on cornerbacks, you can never have enough quarterbacks. So those would be some of the guys I would be looking at. Obviously, it's going to depend on who's out, who's available.
Omar, what's your thoughts on who's still available?
I think that you, more along the lines of positions that you got to address. Where are the runs that you're expecting? I'm expecting runs at edge rusher, at wide receiver, and at safety in day two. And to me, those are the positions you have to address. Like, you're going to be left empty-handed if you don't get an edge, in my opinion, at 43. Or picking from, you know, I looked at the Dolphins' history of selection of edge players in the
Scars. Tell them, TD.
Yes. In the last two decades, they've had one successful edge player not be drafted in the first 2 days of the draft. And that was Andrew Van Ginkle. And I'm not even sure I could really characterize Andrew Van Ginkle as an edge player. Because he really thrived as an inside linebacker who blitzed from various places. To me, I agree with Denzel Boston. I like the Arizona cornerback. I like Emmanuel McNeil Warren. I like AJ Halsey. Definitely, I like Zion Young, but you're correct. You got to feel comfortable with where he is. And as I've always said, this is not an environment for everybody. You know, I do like the Rodriguez kid from Texas Tech. I don't think he's going to go in the second round, but that's a player that I just can't ignore.
Where do you have him going?
I think he might be a third round. He's very limited athletically, and he's got that, you know, try hard thing. They never draft those try hard guys very high when you're a limited athlete. So, now, does that mean that you're not going to be successful? Because I think his instincts are just off the chain good. I love Rodriguez, to be honest with you.
TD, what's your thoughts?
I mean, both of these gentlemen mentioned a lot of great players that's available. I want my wide receiver. Give me a number two receiver right here. A number two receiver on this roster. This is where you get them.
And who's number one?
No, we don't have one.
Okay. So you just want a number two.
Because that's all you're going to get is a number two.
Okay.
So you can feel that role, you know? I mean, you're going to try to put him in a number one role, but it's just the reality. But get a number two receiver right here. And even if it's guys like, I don't know if Hurst will be there in the third round, but I would go 43 if you miss out. But Boston is the target. And if you miss on one of the maybe three wide receivers left, then you got to go edge. There is no question about it. You got to attack the edge right here. I understand Colton Hood is still on the board. But listen, if you're going to pass up on that man initially to go with Chris Johnson, then they're not drafting Hood, okay? For whatever reason. Well, we'll see. But, yeah, wide receiver number one, edge number two. And that has to be the priority right here. And I want to need a wide receiver at 43. It'll be a slam dunk for me.
We're
so
doing
who's our biggest competitor
for need and a rebuild. Got it.
Man, give me my wide receiver. Y'all set Malik Willis up, but that's all right. Go ahead.
there's a lot of teams that might grab a wide receiver ahead of us too, so an edge player. So it all depends how it falls to 43.
Doug, that's why I wouldn't let you pick a wide receiver for the 49ers, because that's where they're going.
49 is also selling a wide receiver.
They're trying to get rid of him, and Juwan Jennings is still a free agent. And so,
would you send 43? Hypothetically, I'm not saying yes or no, I would, but I'm expecting faces for this question. Would you send 43 to Philly
for who?
AJ Brown?
Hell no,
AJ, that deal's already done.
He's going to New England, right?
Yeah, yes. That deal's already done. I would probably consider sending 43 for Brian Thomas Jr.
Man, send 43 and the next year's second for George Pickens.
No.
You can't even make that work financially.
Not only that, do you really?
And he's crazy.
The cap ain't real, Omar.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it more politely than Joe Marseille. He's kind of an issue in the locker room.
Man, listen.
That man crazy. When Dallas is like, we ain't signing you no long-term contract, you know what time it is. Because Dallas will take some crazy. Dallas is crazy.
Their owner slash GM slash everything is crazy.
Why do you think the Steelers got rid of him even though he's uber talented? They were like,
yeah.
Yeah, if the Steelers and the Ravens get rid of a player, just
hold on. Let me make that point. Mike Tomlin put up with Antonio Brown for what, 6, 7, 8 years after 2 years of George Pickens. He was like, get that dude the hell away.
Seriously. Let's get to these donations real quick. We just broke 13,000 subs. Shout out to everyone hitting that sub button. We appreciate you. We're at 1,800 viewers right now. You guys are amazing. We love you. Thank you for supporting the channel. It's D. Griff said, I don't hate Proctor. 1, 2, Sully got duped into trading up for Johnson. He would have been there at 30. And 3, Falk at 30 was the play.
Cedric, love you, buddy. But no, obviously they have intel.
They have intel. All these people do is gather intel for the final 2 weeks of the draft and lie to one another.
I don't mean to pick on Cedric, and I'm not, you know, picking on anyone or really bringing, but like a lot of people who have no idea, myself included, do this where they're like, would have been there at 30, or, you know, why did we trade? Why did we take Proctor at 12? He would have been there later. The run at tackles that happened after Proctor were like, no. Or the other thing is, why didn't they take a wide receiver? How many times on my channel, in your guys' articles, in TD's channel, on this channel, did we say they are not taking a receiver in the first round? We said it over and over.
Maybe 30.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like that they won't take a receiver, because Green Bay took a receiver last year in the first round.
Yeah.
So it's he's a gadget guy.
They took him at 24 also.
Yeah. He's not a big body receiver. You know who else I like? D'Angelo Pons. Even though they have this Chris Johnson, they kept mentioning nickel. And I was just like, why do you keep mentioning nickel for him? Because that's a real specific spot.
Juju Brents.
Not Chris Johnson. And it's important because nickel is a very hard spot to find and fill. And they don't have one on the roster, so I can understand where they're coming from. But D'Angelo Pons, man, listen, you're gonna get a 10-year talent at a discounted rate just because he's 5'8". And
I put him at nickel. Like I said, you got Juju Brents, Chris Johnson, and you put Pons at nickel.
Don't sleep on Storm Duck.
I wouldn't hate that. Jason said, I only hate the pick of Proctor because of who was there, but I like the Johnson pick. Yeah. I think a lot of us fans were in that mindset of Vega was there, Bane was there, you know, Caleb Downs was there. But Sullivan came out and he said, even if he stayed at 11, it was going to be Proctor. He likes the rarity of his size.
He's not going to say, if I'd stayed at 11, I was going to pick Downs, but I traded to 12 and oops, he was gone. I mean, he's not going
to say that. I agree with that. Yeah.
that wouldn't be a good look.
Garp Gump said, I'm leaning Yakis or trading Stooks despite age.
I like Stooks. But
Yakis would be a good investment.
He's also a nickel. And just like they said, Chris Johnson could play safety. They're looking for a very interchangeable piece, and Stooks is a very interchangeable piece as well. I don't really know. He's a nickel. People project him as a safety. I think he's got the ability to play boundary cornerback. If they went and they spent the second day of the draft addressing their secondary, I would applaud them. But then that would leave you exposed at wide receiver and defensive end. But the truth of the matter is, you need to just go take the best players on the board.
Thank you. Should not be drafting for need when you're in the beginning of a rebuild.
Give me my wide receiver. Leave me alone, Alan. Hey, I meant to ask this real quick, Doug. Maybe I missed it at the beginning of the show, but how did y'all feel knowing Bane was on? Well, not Alan. Omar, how did you feel knowing Bane was on the board?
I kind of understood the mindset and the thought process because it aligned with what they said and what they talked about. So I get it. I don't like the boomer bust factor with Proctor, but you know, I will forever be comparing him to Bane. Bane, I don't think Bane is going to be a superstar, but I think Bane is going to be a very solid, reliable NFL starting player. And Proctor better be the same.
Yeah, I think he went to a good situation in Tampa too.
Omar cried for about, was it half an hour? You cried until you were okay and you composed yourself?
About 7 minutes. About seven minutes. Whenever I pull back from Twitter, I just have to, like, you know, like, compose myself for a minute.
That's what I did. So when we took Proctor, my instant reaction was, I wasn't happy because there was other guys on the board I wanted. So I was like, why? But then when I made my video post live stream, I was more like I took a beat and I was like, let me think about this before I really overreact a little bit. And I was like, yeah, I don't hate it. It just wasn't my guy, but I don't hate it.
Yeah. Somebody got to tell me where that planet Earth theory comes from. It's one of these Joe Schmoes that I've covered as GM or executive around the Dolphins. I don't know what
Parcells would say.
Is it a Parcells thing?
It might sound like something he would say.
Yeah. Did anybody catch the Don Shula and the Parcells wording in the draft room?
No, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, they have Don Shula. They have Don Shula wording and Parcells wording in the draft room written on the walls. Keep making exceptions, and next thing you know, you'll have a team full of exceptions. That's Bill Parcells.
Yes,
and
I remember that one.
Heard him say that to me.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And and they have something about Don Shula and the character of a player and all this kind of stuff. That was all throughout the draft room written on the walls.
And the other one, the Parcells, the other famous Parcells, if they don't bite as puppies, they're not going to bite when they're growing.
I don't know if that was on the wall, but yeah.
No, I didn't see it on the wall either, but that's
I got a question about the pass rushers. Do you think they're comfortable with Chop, Uche, and Ojabo?
Hell no.
That's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Don't make me laugh. I'm still sick.
My answer to that question is hell no.
Michael said Finns sniped the bill in getting Johnson. They traded immediately with the Patriots, but of course our expert fans know he would have been there at 30.
Who'd they get ahead to take Johnson?
Buffalo.
Buffalo and Buffalo traded out.
Yeah. Yes. After we took Johnson, they traded out.
So they're KC.
But KC already took Mansoor Delaney, so I don't think KC would have taken.
Correct. KC was not an issue.
It was Buffalo. Buffalo had interest in Chris Johnson.
Correct.
Yeah. Mr. 305 said, please watch the Auburn tape. This is a risk, and you had surefire choice at 12. A guy with motivational problems over Bane Downs Vega is crazy.
Auburn tape is not good.
We'll see. We'll see how it translates. RJ said, I am not mad, but I wanted Vega over Proctor and trading up. I thought they were going McNeil, Warren, or Falk. We could have stayed at 30 and save a third. Nope.
They got a fourth also. It's not like they just gave away a third. They got a fourth in return. They just moved.
I didn't know that. So we picked up a fourth?
Yeah. They got
138.
138.
They're back to 11 picks,
yeah.
Which is
no, I like 13 picks now with the two extras from Dallas to move down in the first round. They're at 13 picks.
Yep.
Okay, let John Eric Sullivan cook. Let's go.
Roke said, World Series bottom of the ninth, down three with two outs, grand slam type swinging on Proctor, playing for a double, my butt.
World Series champs, baby.
Except the Dolphins are not three runs down. Sorry, they're six, seven runs down.
Idle Man said, hated pick one, watching film, read reviews, and listen to interviews. Now I like the pick. Pancake Walker even runs Wildcat, plays flanker. Tush Push is now on play call chart. They're gonna draw something up with him. You know they are.
We got no more third and one issues.
The Dolphin fans have been clamoring since Hunt took a head first dive into the end zone.
You know who he reminds me of, Poupard?
Who, Proctor?
Yeah.
Who?
I'm going to say this name, and it's probably going to not be good. John Jerry. Just a guy that you're not going to move him, but he's not going to move you. And it just makes me a little uncomfortable.
And I see where you're coming from, because that's like you said before, on the offensive line, that's not bad, but that's not what you take at 12.
Yeah.
Like, I see where you're coming from, because you're not going to move him. But he's not going to, like you said, so, you know.
My hope is that he can play tackle, because if you drafted him to play him at guard and he's not moving people, yeah, nah, this is not.
If you're sticking at guard with him, then they should have taken Venga.
Yeah.
Okay, question, hindsight. Knowing what you know now, okay, not what the prospect was, but knowing what you know now, is Robert Hunt a first-round talent?
Yes.
Yes.
Can our guy Proctor be Robert Hunter better?
No.
Wow.
Yes, he can. Yes. But we don't know that.
I don't think he can move like Robert Hunt.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. He's bigger, though. He's bigger. He's a different player.
But that's the intrigue about him. He moves well with that.
He moves well for a giant, for a mammoth of a human being.
Yeah, like athletic, like LeBron in the gym.
A'ron Brewer moves well. Like,
Brewer's like 100 pounds lighter than those guys.
Exactly. Brewer moves well. This guy moves. He moves, you know, like, if he gets going, okay, it's hard to stop him. But, like, don't act like he can, like, wiggle you out. I remember Vince Wilfork. Y'all remember Vince Wilfork? Man. That guy, that's probably one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen. Like, I used to watch him play pickup basketball games, and Vince Wilfork at 370 pounds was dunking. And that's an athlete that moves. I don't know if this kid could do any of that stuff. This is...
TD, I'm with you on that one.
Omar, I'm sorry. It's rare for a guy his size to move the way he moves.
We'll see. You'll be able to see with our own eyes soon. Michael said, so would Sully have be given a pass for selecting Bane if the short arms do affect his career just because he took the local kid to keep fans happy?
No, he wouldn't be given a free pass. No.
Dolphin fans would give him a pass.
Dolphin fans would give him a pass.
Omar would
give him a pass.
The only way you give him a pass.
I mean, this is literally, what he did was literally the worst thing that he could do. In terms of popularity.
Oh yeah.
This was sacrilegious. This is like
Twitter lost it. I put a poll out and
the hometown kid that turned around your program, the guy that you know is gonna embody everything culture wise that you want to create, and you say thanks but no thanks, and then go take a
alley. It's a free alley hoop.
You're like sitting up here at the 3-point line, like,
I got you. No, I got you.
No matter what, if he even a bust, it's okay.
Hope it's not like Along Came Polly, where if you ever seen that movie Rain Man and just throwing them up in the air,
it literally is. He had a layup sitting right there, he's like jumping back in the 3-point line.
Oh man, Ohio John, been a member for 11 months. He said Paul and Proctor, serious guys, off the bus guys. Yeah, big dudes. Michael again said, man, I don't trust some of y'all. Y'all were jumping out of your seat with joy. The Finns took Jonah last year.
Never. Listen,
don't look at this guy here. Sorry, maybe those two over here.
So
never.
Funny thing is, Proctor's probably going to become something really good for us, because what was told by the analysts and the experts and yada yada about Jonah was, you know, he's day one starter, blah, 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 all this stuff about him.
I ain't gonna lie, he got me. He got me. I was just, oh boy.
And now we're hearing the opposite about Proctor. So
he ain't never got me. I didn't even like him in training camp.
I will admit, that was one where, I was all behind. Oh, Jonas Avenatti, you got to get him in, man.
I was so happy. And I still am. I'm giving him two more years. Jay Iffy.
How many years did you give Noah?
I gave him 3 years. I give every draft pick 3 years. And then I'm like, you gotta go. All right, I'm done. You gotta go. Jay Iffy said, Vega would have been safer, but injuries happen, Jackson. And now you got a player that can play left guard, left tackle, and right tackle. Only time will tell, though.
And right guard.
Yeah, that sound. Shadow Fate said, we won't know how good this will be before 3 years minimum. I agree. But Sully has to get props for stealing 2 5-round picks for moving one spot.
What question? If Proctor 100%. Was a mile along, major props for
getting. He got his guy as well as getting two picks. So, yeah. Figures from the Attic said, one of the benefits of working from home is watching these live streams. Very excited to see what Chris Johnson could do. He fills a huge need. We appreciate you chiming in and donating. Shadow Fates again said, previous Finn's draft, it was Miami getting killed for moving up for a player that most everyone figured would be there at their pick.
Like who?
I can't recall that.
Eichenberg probably wasn't going to be there at 50. And
Eichenberg absolutely was not going to be there.
You don't think so?
No. There was a ridiculous
Jonah was not going
to
be there.
Lineman that was taking place, and they had to trade up and give up a future third round pick to go get one of them.
Interesting.
They traded up for players who didn't pan out, but it's not they weren't like waste throwing away picks for guys who were going to be there.
And Jonah was a situation where that was the last sure shot rookie starter, ready to go rookie starter, and clearly he was not ready to go as a rookie starter. The lesson learned there is you need somebody who's technically sound position wise, where Jonah was not.
And that was supposed to be Eichenberg in 2021. The book on he's NFL ready. His ceiling may not be as high, but he's NFL ready. And
didn't he like not give up a sack for like a whole year or something like
two
that?
2 years. 2 years.
He got me too. I'm not gonna lie. Liam got me. Idle Man with the tenor said Johnson 2025, 83% coverage wins, allowed 0 touchdowns, 186 yards, 4 picks, elite production per PFF, combine 40, 38-inch vert, RAS score of 99.67, reads coverage routes like a veteran. One more for you. Do you know what his pass rating is when he's targeted?
Do you have the same point I'm going to make here?
Go ahead. Level of competition?
He's going to say who they play.
Yeah.
Level
of competition is yes, cornerbacks are cornerbacks. And I agree with him. Take the baseline athlete. Take the guy with position flexibility. He could play nickel. But he never faced no Tyreek Hill. That's a whole different animal.
You have to take the most explosive player in like NFL.
I'm just saying, don't act like when Storm Duck lines up against Tyreek Hill, he wasn't like, "Holy crap!"
Yeah.
These are some different animals. DeAndre Hopkins, like, goodness gracious, like.
This is going to be a good conversation we're going to have when training camp and OTAs come around, is because previously we had our defense going up against really good wide receivers and even our offensive line going up. Now it's like, again, this is a conversation we're going to have down the road, but the competition that they're facing, these guys on our team, you look at these corners like Johnson, not knocking Tutu Atwell or Jalen Tolbert, but it's not Tyreek.
I'm not sure about two. By the way, I just looked it up. San Diego State last year played 13 games. They played one game against a ranked opponent. That was their bowl game against North Texas.
How did he do?
They lost 49-47, so I can't imagine that he had a great game along with everybody else on defense. So.
And here's my biggest thing about Chris Johnson, and I don't know him, but in this day and age of NIL, if you're playing at San Diego State and somebody and you're really good and somebody's not offering you $1 million to go play at their SEC school, what's wrong with you?
TD is not showing up in the box score. I don't even know if he even played. He's literally not.
I'm sure he played, Allen. He just locked his side down, so you ain't hear about it.
They were like, we're not going to put him on there. They nothing happened.
They had no tackle, no pass defense. They didn't bother throwing his way. Or maybe he sat out. I don't have to.
Yeah, maybe he sat out, go bowl eligible. I don't know. It's
JEB said Omar Poop, follower for a long time, new to TD and Doug. Welcome. And watched your streams last night, man. Dolphin fans really are the worst. Kudos to you guys. We're hurt. I think that's what it is. Because, yeah, no, I agree. When Proctor was taking my chat, I think I had 2,000 at the time. It fluctuates. So, like, when we're not picking, it, like, dips down to, like, 1,000. But then when we pick, it goes back up. They were not happy. My chat was just like, brah, brah, like, why?
Yeah.
They were not happy.
It was the most unpopular thing that he could have done. There was nothing more unpopular that he could have done.
A guy I talked to, Nando Talks, he put a video out of the draft party, and it was like,
oh, I want to see that.
It was, I'll retweet it so you could see it, but it was just like, and the, you know, the Miami Dolphins take Proctor, and it was just like a, all right. Okay. Oh, all right. Whereas you watched the Dallas Cowboys when they took, you know, Caleb Downs, they erupted. They were like, yeah. So it's,
I mean, y'all know how I feel about Downs. I just don't think he's the best thing since sliced bread, like everybody else is saying. Now, if he has a great career, okay, cool. But if he's the next Ed Reed, then, you know, clearly I was wrong.
It's so funny, though, because remember Wednesday night when we were having technical difficulties, we were stuck with the option that Downs.
It happened again. It's the By the way, until CD comes back, I just looked it up. Chris Johnson did not play in San Diego State's bowl game. So all of last year, he did not face a team that was.
So what did he do? He opted out, or he was injured, or what?
I don't know. His last game was November 28th at New Mexico.
What were you saying, TD?
No, I was saying it was funny how we were stuck with the dilemma with Downs being available in that mock draft. Remember? Mm-hmm. And then the system just went terrible. Maybe that was a sign.
There you go.
I mean, we did ponder trading that pick, but all of us.
Jonathan said, any chance we draft left tackle Bell from Miami? That's a possibility.
I mean, if they want these Planet Earth people, Bell is definitely a Planet Earth guy.
Okay, and you know what's cool?
One of my draft guys on MiamiDolphinsNSI.com is pointing out that Chris Johnson was nursing a foot injury. That's why he didn't play in the bowl game.
You know what's cool? If you go on PFS or if you go on PFSN, you can do a mock now for the second on. They fill in the first round, which I didn't know, so I put mine out there. It's actually pretty fun. David said, why would Dallas trade up just one spot? Did Sully convince them they were going to take Downs? No.
Yes.
You don't think so?
Oh, he did?
Absolutely. I listened to Jerry Jones. They were like, well, you can't take that chance.
Or they convinced him that somebody else.
I would think that they would convince Jerry Jones
that somebody else was going to take downs.
Yeah. Not that the Dolphins were. I think that they were like, Philly, we got Philly on the other line. You better give us 2/5. And they were like, all right. And then they were like, idiots.
Yeah, when you listen to Jerry Jones and then you listen to Steve Ross do the phone conversation and he's like bragging, oh, we got 2/5 for you too. We were ready to go take you. Like, you realize that, like, okay.
Because Stephen Ross talking to Proctor. Yeah, man. We they keep telling me how great things about you, and they figured out a way to get 2/5.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, they were scheming.
By the way, that reminds me, did you guys see the clip of Mekhi Lemon on the phone with the Steelers?
Yes.
Why is Philly calling me? And his agent walks up to him and goes, Philly just traded for you.
Wow, I did not see that.
So yeah. Dallas was on the board
at 20,
and so Pittsburgh thought Dallas isn't going to take Mekhi Lemon, so we're going to take Mekhi Lemon. So they're on the phone with him. Philly's trying to call Mekhi Lemon to be like, you're our pick. They can't get through because he's talking of Pittsburgh. And then the draft, and then the trade happens. Crazy.
Wild, especially, like, could you imagine if he turns out to be a great, how Pittsburgh fans gonna feel? Wow, definitely. That's crazy.
Retro, we appreciate the 10 Canadian. Garp Gump said with the tenor, he said, Bill Parcells' planet theory, which dictates that teams should prioritize drafting rare, massive human beings, 300 plus, who possess high-level athleticism, as they are hard to find on this planet.
That's right. We got them.
Earl said, I read the Bills were going to take CJ trade back when we moved up and took him. Yup. Idle Man said, Proctor, 815-pound squat, 535-pound bench, 405-pound clean. Not bad for a non-motivational player.
He said, bro, what time out? Okay, none of us have said non-motivational player. We've said he's had weight issues. That's not the same thing.
That's what's being, I don't think he's saying we're saying it. That's kind of what's being reported, is that he doesn't have the motivation to stay in shape until he gets, because that's what I think Saban also said. When he's there and when you get him there, he gets in shape. That's why this past season, he kind of started off slow and then he got better as the season went on because he started to get into shape.
Well, Omar got me concerned on that because now I'm like, I gotta see him actually be productive in camp in that sun. If he can, then I have no questions about him. If he out there looking unbothered by that, I have zero questions about
him. Who's that player that Tampa Bay took that they
do not want? Christian Watson, is you talking about? What we do not want is a Manuel Wright situation where he's out of shape and Nick Saban walks up to him and tells him, get your ass off my field.
Oh, that would be heartbreaking.
Christian Watson, Doug's the guy who's having the 460-pound Buccaneers.
Yeah, where he was just walking with a weighted vest for like all of training camp.
Yep.
Sully got, go get McCoy. He and Johnson will be Surtain in Madison 2.0. Will, we appreciate the fiver. David said, Omar, since you asked, Chris Johnson recorded significant offers for power conference schools, but rejected them NIL to go somewhere else, but wanted to stay.
I got to get the details of that one because I don't know how you turn down hundreds of thousands of dollars as a college player. Sorry.
Because we got a high character guy.
Sorry, just joking.
Bull crap.
Jay Iffy said, no way 3-4 guys don't hit out of 11-13 draftees. I guess assuming
guys don't hit. I mean,
like we don't get out of all these draft picks. We don't
3-4 guys. Correct. Guys.
Yeah, you better get 5.
Yeah.
You got 13 picks. You better have 5 hits.
But we appreciate everyone for hanging out. 2,015 of you in here. Love you all. Love all the donations. 13,000 subs we broke. Hit that like button. Go check out Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald. Check out Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI. Go check out TD Fins Talk. He will be live tonight, as well as Roundtable Sports with all the AFC East guys. You can check me out tonight. I will be live for day 2 of the draft. We will see you Monday to recap the draft and tell you exactly our thoughts. Enjoy day 2, enjoy the draft, and we will see you Monday. Peace.